to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn. And welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. Now, I haven't done one of these little intros for a while because, I don't know, I've just been really busy. And whenever I've done an interview, I've just got it up for you guys as fast as possible. So this is a little update as to what I've been up to recently. And then we'll get on to the fantastic interview with Sean Platt, who's a really enthusiastic guy. So yeah, I hope you enjoy that interview when we get to it. In the meantime, I guess I wanted to tell you a bit about what I've been up to. I've been writing in the London Library, which has been really good for me in many ways. You know, first of all, the London Library is an amazing place, and, you know, a whole load of people wrote there: Agatha Christie, Virginia Woolf, E.M. Forster, you know, Room with a View is one of my favourite books, Darwin and Dickens, and oh, it's just an amazing place. It's in a beautiful section of London, St James's Square, you know, near the posh bit, and I guess I just feel really good working there, being surrounded by books and also other writers. And it also relates a bit to how I've been feeling, you know, leaving my full-time job. I've spent the last 13 years as an IT consultant, working in large corporates and consultancy firms. And, you know, in an atmosphere where you commute to work, you have your coffee, you, you know, sit at a desk and you work specific hours. And I've been doing this blog and my writing and everything kind of in the evenings and weekends. So to move to full-time writing and being an entrepreneur has meant that that has really disturbed my sense of equilibrium, and quite weirdly around just the routine of that type of thing. So now, at least 3 days a week, what I'm doing is, you know, doing the usual stuff you do, and then I've been commuting to the library with my computer, I've been using my iPad quite a lot to write, and then sitting there and writing all day, and then I have my lunch break, and I'm surrounded by other writers, and it just feels good to have a routine around a physical place. And there are, you know, other writers there, Orna Ross, who I'm going to be interviewing soon about meditation. She's there, and I have coffees with people, and it's just a good place to be. So if ever you end up, or if you are already, you know, doing this type of life, and you're struggling with the daily routine and getting distracted at your desk, I really recommend getting out the house and going to a library. The London Library is a paid library, but it's, you know, it's not too expensive, and actually, in terms of how cold it is and the price of heating, I think it justifies the cost to go and sit there 3 days a week. So anyway, I'm very happy to be writing there. I also really like the stacks. I mean, it's like a sort of Harry Potter style place where you can wander around, or maybe like the TARDIS, like Doctor Who, where you can you just wander around another corner and there's a whole load more books, and quite old ones and first editions, all hardbacks. So anyway, it's quite weird to be surrounded by physical books when I am pretty much an ebook reader these days. So yeah, and there's serendipity in the stacks, as I call it, where you can find some quite amazing volumes as you write to give you some new ideas. So I, for example, I found a book on the apocalypse, you know, writing on the apocalypse, Revelation of St. John, by D.H. Lawrence, who's sort of, you know, one of those great writers. So I just pulled that out and had a read, and that was quite good, considering my book Prophecy is partly about, well, based on a verse out of the book of Revelation. Okay, so that's my sort of my writing thing. On Prophecy, I have blogged about this, but I know I have some different people on the podcast than I do on the blog. And essentially what happened is I was getting quite bogged down in Prophecy. It's been going for quite a while now, since February really. And I was just finding myself knitting together too many things. and it was becoming a little too much. And in the end, I cut 20,000 words out. I deleted a whole load of the scenes that were set in Africa. And that what that has done is it's really freed me and made me realise that I didn't need those scenes. They've given me a great new character, which he will be coming back in the third book. But essentially, I didn't need it in the story, and it was overcomplicating things. And when it comes down to it, ebooks now and books in general are getting shorter, and people are happy to read a book of 70,000 words. You know, a la James Patterson, certainly Amanda Hocking and John Locke and that lot, people who are actually making decent money at this, they're writing more short books. So, yeah, I don't want to compromise quality, but I can see that getting rid of that stuff has not impacted the story at all. In fact, it's probably made it better because you don't need all of those scenes. So that was good. I cut all of the ones about Africa, as I said, and cut a few characters. And now I just suddenly feel like I've had a breakthrough. So I'm getting some beta readers for the next bit, and then I will have and a structural edit, and then I will have a copy edit, and I'm possibly, fingers crossed, I'm going to get Prophecy out in ebook form by Christmas. I really hope I can, because that was always my aim, and I thought I was lost a few weeks ago, but that was because I was bogged down in all this extra material. So I hope now that I will make it. I will let you know, obviously. And I will be doing marketing quite differently for the second book, so watch this space for what happens with all of that. On other things, I guess, in terms of my new life as a full-time author entrepreneur, I will be blogging some more about this as we move into next year, because I really do have a sort of 6-month plan at the moment, before I reevaluate things. And I, you know, as ever, I do want to be honest with you guys about how things are going. I am certainly not making anywhere near the amount of income I used to, but I made more than I had budgeted on last month. So I'm quite pleased with that. And although, of course, one of my primary aims will be to get more fiction out next year to start boosting that list, but also do more speaking. So if you are, I will be doing some more webinars. I'm doing a webinar at the moment with Roz Morris, who's been on the podcast before. We're doing How to Write a Novel. Roz has written 11. I'm obviously only on my second, but together we bring quite a lot of different perspectives to the process. And that is at thecreativepen.com/write-novel. You'll be able to buy that product now for $99. US dollars. You can still join us for the live ones or buy the product with all the recordings and everything. So that is available. I'm quite excited about that, really. It's really fun to do, you know, to really look at the lessons learned and what you need to know when you write a novel. And then next year, I've got a couple of workshops in London, if you are in the area, which I know most of you aren't. But if you are in London, I'm doing How to Write and Publish a Book for non-fiction business authors, and then also How to Market a Book, which is really for anyone, including fiction writers. So if you're in London or you know anyone who is, if you go to thecreativepen.com/speaking, you will find that. And as ever, I'm available for speaking throughout the world if you have somewhere that I might be useful. As an entrepreneur now, I really have to be looking at this type of thing. So yeah, it's exciting, and I will keep you updated as to what I learn along the way. As ever, please send me feedback or questions. I'm always happy to answer anything. And as the blog is now nearly 600 articles and like 120 podcasts, it's sometimes quite hard to find things, although there is a search box. So if you email me, I will be able to help you find information or direct you to people who know, which, you know, I've got quite a big network now. So, yep, thanks for listening. Here is the interview with Sean Platt on serial fiction, and he's got a brilliant take on a lot of things. Very enthusiastic guy. So here we go. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm interviewing Sean Platt. Sean is a prolific author, copywriter, publisher, and online entrepreneur. He's written business books and writing books and children's books, and also co-authored the recent Amazon best-selling Yesterday's Gone, a serialized post-apocalyptic thriller. So welcome, Sean.
Hi, Joanna. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
It's so good to have you on the show. So why don't you start by telling us, why did you and your co-author David Wright decide to do serialized fiction in the first place? And what have you learned?
Okay, well, we decided to do serialized fiction because, well, actually a lot of reasons. As readers, we really love serialized content. Not written, but TV. Like, we're both, I mean, I don't watch a lot of TV just because I really don't have a lot of time. It's not like I'm better than TV because, dude, I would take it all day if I could. I like junky TV. But I like good junky TV. I don't like bad junky TV. I like Lost. I love Lost. I love Sopranos, Breaking Bad. I just got into Breaking Bad. That show's fantastic. Love Breaking Bad. And that's how I like it. I like to just voraciously consume it. Dexter's another big one. And we really like the mechanisms of that kind of storytelling, the really grand openings that just grab you, and then the endings that just leave you like hungry for the next one right that second. And I wanted to create that same experience for a reader. And Dave and I have wanted to do this forever. And the first book we actually wrote together, which is called Available Darkness, is a vampire cop kind of thing. And it's got a really cool vibe. And we tried serializing it for a while, but we did it online on a blog. But it wasn't really serialization in its pure form, the way we're doing it now. It was really one book that we serialized the book. The difference with this is it's written as a serial. It's written the same way that scripted television is. In fact, Dave and I write our different, we map it out, we write our different scenes, and then he takes all the scenes and he edits them together. Just like, you know, a television show is shot out of order and then they put the scenes together. So the idea as a reader that you could create that, like, edge of your seat, exciting week to week, we just thought was great. But from a pure business publishing, so that's what we wanted to do as writers. As publishers, we needed a model that worked because the people who were selling the numbers that we wanted to hit, you know, the Conrads, the Locks, you know, Hawking, like those numbers, that's what we're aiming for here. That's our baseline. So to hit those, we need to have multiple titles and they need to be all in our same exact niche. And that was our problem. We had six titles before we started Yesterday's Gone, and they were all in different markets. Mm-hmm. So that's like the worst funnel ever. <There's> just, that's terrible. I mean, it was very, very difficult. And we said, okay, Christmas is right around the corner. Kindle's going to drop in price. And when it does, they're probably going to have a tablet. Both of those happened. And it's going to be crazy for Christmas. If what we saw last December repeats, which it will, and if it repeats at a greater degree, which it will, we want to be there. And the way we're doing it now is broken. So what can we do to fix that? And we figured serialize, but multiple titles. And it's fiction with a funnel. And it is a really neat flow because it just follows all the stuff I've learned as an online content marketer. Like this is how you build out a product. This is how you get them in the door. It's exactly the same thing. We have our pilot, which is, and this will answer your second question. We had a pilot, which is just like the first episode ever of a new series, right? It hooks you. It's supposed to grab you by the face and kiss you all over because you never want to let it go. And that's, so we had to do that with our pilot. And we worked for a month until we finally got it free on Amazon. And that's what we learned. It's the free. We worked really, really hard. I did over, 60 interviews. But I mean, just, I worked my face off. And Dave worked his face off. I mean, we pushed this as hard and as fast as we could. But that didn't amount to the same as what instantly happened when we had the free pilot on Amazon. And so you got to work to get that free. Now, I don't know if this is coming up later, if I talk about the 99 cents, but I have my own feelings about 99 cents, you know, but anyway, that's why we did it, because it was a way to get our name out in multiple ways that, in a short period of time.
And okay, so now we've got to talk about the price thing. So can you just, I know some people have tried the free thing and people have found they've gotten a lot of bad reviews, or, you know, there are some negative things around going free, and also you have to game Amazon a bit to get it free, don't you? Maybe you could talk a bit about that free thing and the pricing.
Okay, for free, ours, if we didn't have the serialized part of what we're doing, we wouldn't be using it free. It wouldn't work. It's broken. It only works because what we have free ends with a cliffhanger that immediately wants to. Now, if you're getting, if you're writing something that, look, I mean, let's just get this out of the way right now. There are a lot of self-published books that are not very good and deserve bad reviews. And if you're not putting out the very best, you can't put out something, okay, I found a simpler way to say it, so I don't ramble. If you wouldn't charge for it, it's not worth being free. If it's not, I would have no problem charging $2.99 for the pilot that we launched for free. I think it's worth every penny. I, as a, if I bought that for $2.99, I would be thrilled. So if you wouldn't pay for it, don't make it free. Just because it's free, that's not an excuse for not to be your best work. And I think that it, because people are paying for it, they're just paying with their time. And to my mind, that's way more valuable than $2.99 anyway. If I read something and it wastes my time, I'm way more mad than if I read something and it wasted my money. So, like, money's money. You're always going to make more money. It's just money, you know?
So how did you make it how did you make it free? Did you change it on Smashwords or something and wait
yes,
for Amazon?
We changed it on Smashwords. We put it up on Lulu. I mean, we put it up everywhere, all over. Actually, by we, I mean Dave. Dave does all of this. I get to sit here and talk and, like, put words in both of our mouths, but he does all the work. I mean, I do my writing, and I have to spend a lot more FaceTime, but he does a tremendous amount of heavy lifting on the publishing side.
No, it's interesting, because author CJ Lyons, who is, she has half indie, half traditionally published, she did a book for free in her series, and again, all her sales went up. So what you're saying is, free is good, but only if you have a series. And
what I'm saying is, free is good only if you have somewhere for them to go. It doesn't, you just have to direct them somewhere. But the most, the big takeaway is, it has to be fantastic. And if you don't have something that's worth talking about, reviewing, spreading, you know, buying the next thing, then you've wasted your time with free. There's no return. So you have to put something good out. And, I mean, Yesterday Is Gone is a great book. And now, it's not a great book if you don't like that genre. Then it's not. But if you're in the target market, we hit all the notes. It does its job. It's a good read. It's got great endings. You care about the characters. The dialogue's snappy. I mean, it's a good book. So if you're the right market and you get that for free and you're like, yeah, I want to read the next one. And so, but if it was just a great book and there was another book and they liked the writing enough and it excited them, people are naturally, they want to go to the next. They want to see what's next. So it's not, doesn't have to be a series, but it has to be great.
Yeah. And is it too early to tell yet whether this model is working?
I could not be happier the way it's working. Yeah. No, it's really, really awesome because, I mean, there's a couple ways I could say that it's working great. I mean, the numbers aren't where I want it to be. It's not like money raining from the sky, but I'm really happy with the growth because it's a self-published novel and the only ones we have marketing it is us and the people who read it. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's going to take time before we hit lists and before people really start talking. And we just got our review copies actual in print because it was just Kindle only. And we're working on the print version now. But so few of our sales come print, I don't even care. It's just a marketing thing. But, you know, but we printed the and this was a late development. We actually didn't think to do this, although it's really like obvious. But we printed the pilot because no one wants to read a 700-page book and review. Yeah, we'll get to that later, you know. But we just printed the pilot, and if that does its job, they'll download it on Kindle or whatever. But a lot of people only take print reviews. So which I know it's not going to be like that a year from now, but man, I'm playing ball right now, you know. So
and you can only, what annoys me on Goodreads, you can only give away print copies on Goodreads as well, which really annoys me.
Right, but now we can do that. And it's a benefit because we just couldn't have afforded to do it with 700 pages. We just can't. But the pilot's only 100 pages. We could do that. And we get it in a lot of hands now. So we got our first 100 over there. I'll start mailing them out next week. I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, I mean, no, I couldn't be happier because one way I know it's working is we have a really great, I mean, again, it's like a funnel. We know how many people downloaded for free. We know how many buyers there are season one. So we know that people are buying. But it's really funny to look at the charts. The download is obviously the highest number. Number two is pretty high. Number two is pretty good. But then there's fewer and fewer as they get up. But season one sales are great. Most people just read it from, there's a lot more season one sales than episode two sales, which is exactly what we want, because we don't want anyone to buy episodes. There's no money there. We only want them to buy something of ours that's $2.99 and over. Everything else is designed to get them to make that other purchase. So as a, because at $1.99 each, they, the whole season would be $12, but you could buy the whole season for $4.99 with one clip. But that's the decision we want them to make. So $4.99.
Sorry, will you remove the episodes? Because what I see, and I saw with Ros Morris, who I had on here, and she did these episodic things, is the reviews on each of the episodes get left on those books. And then it's kind of confusing for a buyer, because I went to have a look, you know, at your page, and there was the season one, which was the books 1 to 6, and then there was book 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And how do people know? So are you going to remove the other ones or still keep them there?
No, we'll still keep them, because what we found is some people want to buy them that way.
Okay.
Some, like, we're seeing it carry through all the way from the pilot all the way to 6. Like, people just don't deviate. And what's funny is 5 and 6 have identical numbers. Like, they're always neck and neck. So those are people just finishing out. But they've chosen to buy them one at a time. So it really gives you options. But we would much rather have people buy them by the season, because it's more profitable, but we like the choice. I'm not really sure. We're going to play with the model a bit. Yesterday's Gone will probably stay the same, but we have several series planned, and we'll work with different episode lengths and pricing structures, and we'll play with that a lot, because I think there's a lot of, no one knows, it's frontier. You know, I don't really know what works, but really what we did primarily was based on what works with television, what we know works with television, and a 6 episode television that works, you know, like there's some shows that just, they nail it, 6 or 12, and we didn't want to do 12 seemed too big for us. Yeah. The first time.
No, that's amazing. Now I've got to ask, I had all these questions for you, they're kind of going out the window. I've got to ask about the speed, because I was just reading yesterday about Amanda Hocking, who writes a book in 4 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks is how she writes a book, and that is, of course, the numbers we both would like. And I've just taken about 9 months to write my book. So, not very good. So, what are you and David doing to write so fast, and how are you keeping the quality up at the same time?
Well, I'm a ghostwriter, so... or a retired ghostwriter, but I was a ghostwriter. I had, the more words I got out, the more money I made. Time was literally money. I learned to write really, really fast. Now, I actually started out writing really, really fast anyway, because I was never, I kind of, and I don't know this to be true because I don't have anything to compare it to. I only know how I write, and I've only been writing for 4 years now. So it's not really long enough to know, and I don't have anything to compare it to. I didn't go to school to become a writer. I never tried to be a writer. I never took a writing class. So I have a feeling that had I taken those classes, I wouldn't be as good a writer as I am, and I would be slower. Because I feel like there's a lot of stuff that's instinct that I would have had untaught. And it was a lot of, like, I used to own a chain of flower shops, and I never learned to write, I never went to school to become a flower designer. I just did it by color and instinct. And whenever I had to hire a new designer, I could never hire someone who went to school, because they could only think in the lines that they were taught. And what made our store awesome, what made it special, was that we colored outside the lines. You know, it was about the color and the shape and the texture of the flowers. It wasn't about the lines. And so that's why we were booked every single weekend through wedding season, because it was about color. And I could never get that in school. It was something that flower schools teach you, something different. And I think writing's the same. And I actually think, because you ask what keeps the quality up, and you, how can you write so fast and keep the quality up? I think the two are linked. I think I write as well as I do because I write as fast as I do. Because I don't slow down to edit. Because I write, and I have confidence that I'll clean it up the second or third time. Sometimes I do have to give myself 3 edits. And, you know, I may have a misplaced comma here or there, but really, I'm a strong writer right out of the gate. And, you know, I wish that I had more I have more resources right now to pay for a really just massive edit, but I can't quite yet. And I know that most of our stuff, you may find a typo or two, and I'm okay with that because we'll get better. We're self-publishers. We're trying as hard as we can. We do pay for edits. Yesterday's Gone had two, and there were still a couple things that we're finding, and we'll correct those as soon as we can. And that's what we do. That's the magic of Kindle. You can correct it without worrying about all the ink and paper and distribution. And that's a magical thing. And so, but you can't put out anything less than your absolute best because you're not going to grow. You won't grow as a writer and you won't grow as an author. And an author, I think, is somebody who can legitimately say, I'm making this up right now. But I think an author is somebody who legitimately can say, I make my living only from the books that I write. A writer, that's all the rest of us. Right now, I really, really want to be an author, but I'm not. I'm a writer. I'm a working writer, and I work my face off. And I do well for myself. But that's only because I work my face off. That's not the way I want it to be. I want it to be where I write something, and I'll make money on it for years and years and years to come. And I can do that, and I'm almost there, but I'm not there yet. There's still work to do. And I think that's kind of the problem with the Kindle Gold Rush a little bit, is that people are seeing it as a gold rush. And you keep hearing there are no gatekeepers. And I've said, there are no gatekeepers. They're gone. Run into the castle. But the truth is, our gatekeepers, they've just changed their faces. The gatekeepers are now...
The customer is the gatekeeper.
Yeah. And that's a better gatekeeper. I'm much more comfortable with that gatekeeper.
Me
Bring
too.
Him on. You know? I can speak to him. I can write to him. I can make her very happy. I can make her cry. Like, I love to do that. That's what I do.
Yeah.
There are still gatekeepers. So you have to please them, and you have to work hard to please them. Mm. And there are no magic beans for that. You have to be a good writer. You have to have a strong voice. And you have to have confidence to put it out there, make it better each time, and communicate with your readers. You do all that, you can make it as an author. But that's a lot of stuff to do, and it's not a gold rush. Yes, you can self-publish, but if you're not great, or you can't work at being great, then you'll never make it as an author.
And I'm rereading Stephen King on writing again. It's about the fifth time I've read it because I love it, because I find he is, like you were saying with the flower shop, I mean, you know, he has no training and yet he delivers to the customer every time, and he's multimillionaire because he's just done that. And he's worked his face off, as you say, continually.
Dude, Stephen King has made, if it wasn't for Stephen King, I may not be a writer. Because I read The Talisman at 8, and it changed my world. Now I'm going to tell you, my daughter's a month shy of being 10, and it's horrifying to me that I read The Talisman at 8. Horrifying. But it was on my mom's nightstand, and damn it, it looked sexy. Like, I wanted to read that yesterday. And so I did, and then I read everything. By the time I was 12, 13, I read everything that he'd written. And he really influenced my... love of telling stories. And, you know, I love that he doesn't believe in writer's block. It's work, damn it. Show up. And I do not believe in writer's block. What I believe in is procrastination. And I think that, yeah, I like to procrastinate too. But here's the thing. It is what it is. It's procrastination. And I think that because we're writers, we can, like, anoint ourselves with laziness and say, like, I don't want to write. I'm going to go to Twitter right now. I'm going to, you know, watch this YouTube video or Facebook. Email! And we do this to ourselves, and we say, I'm blocked. I have writer's block. Right, right now. But I don't think I would have had that anyway, because I like, you know, I know when I'm procrastinating. And I do it more than I'd like, but, you know, I've grown, you know? But literally, it's when you have to. When you have to work and work and work, because if you write less words, you have less money that week and you're going to lose your house. You are really, really fast. But here's the thing, and that's the takeaway I want everybody to really have, is that there's no delusion of quality there. Your quality doesn't decay. The faster you write, the better, the closer you come to your most natural voice. And that's just the truth. When you slow down, think about it in conversation. You're not slowing down to self-edit everything unless you're in a social setting where you're really nervous about what you're going to say. But in most settings, you're just yourself. You're not self-editing. You can, if you get that when you're writing, that's flow. But you don't find flow like a runner's high when you've been running for, you know, 25 minutes or actually 20 hours and you're there. You can put yourself in that state by just knowing that it's okay to just go. Stop editing yourself. Because you may go out and come back to it and clean up a lot of, you know, your mistakes. And you may, I mean, I spend more time editing than I do writing because I write so fast. But what I find is that even though I have to spend more time editing, I have good copy that sounds like somebody talking. And I think it's a speed thing. So to take a really long time to answer a very simple question, I think I write really fast and maintain the quality. I think the two are very harmonious.
No, I like that. No, that's good. Right, I have to ask you about the marketing because you have been everywhere in the last, the last month, really, 6 weeks. You seem to have been on, including some really big blogs. And I wanted to ask you, okay, firstly, you know, how was your launch process, you know, planned? Because you've been building this up for years, really, this platform. And also, how successful was all of that, do you think?
So great question. Okay, first, being online for a few years, I've developed, you know, a big network. So I knew that I couldn't reach the readers this time, so I had to reach the influencers. That was the only way to do it. And that's what I meant by I'll never have to work this hard again, because this time I didn't have any readers. Any work that I had done, all my work was invisible, or at least most of it. You know, I'm like an iceberg, right? You see the very tip, but because my name's not on so much stuff, most of what I've done has been invisible. But that doesn't mean I haven't been just like doing it. So I didn't have the audience I needed to really launch a project of this size to get the numbers that I wanted to have. So I figured the only way I could really do that was to get the influencers and hope that it trickled down. It worked. I mean, I think that the ball would be rolling anyway. I mean, I'm very happy with our first month numbers. From what I know of every other big success story, our numbers are at that range or bigger for this time period. Now, that's still not that big. So what really helped was Amazon going free. Bam. That was it. Because the day that happened, you know, I think we peaked at 32 on the free download list, but number one in horror, which is funny. I don't really think it's horror, but hey, that works.
Whatever.
Yeah, it works. I mean, there are some elements there, but it's not. If Lost is horror, I mean, it's that kind of vibe.
Yeah, but you said you were on like 60 blogs or something when we were talking before the chat, and I did this too. I was on all of these blogs, but I think Amazon made the difference, not all of that all of that stuff. Yeah. Do you think that?
Yeah, I think all of that helped. It got the ball rolling, and we already had all our reviews at the time that Amazon broke that were 5-star. So I think that really helped, and they were enthusiastic because they were all like, we just let it happen. We wanted reviews, but those first reviews that came in, those were just people who read it. And that actually did come from the marketing, because I remember doing, I think it was probably the Jonathan Fields interview, but I'm not really sure. But based on what the reviewer said, I kind of think that's what it was. But he just said, I saw the author on one of my favorite blogs and I just had to buy it, and wow, it was great. And you know, and then somebody else said the same thing. I saw one of the authors and I got really excited, and so I bought it, and I am like, this is my new crack. And like, that's what you want people to say. So I don't think if we had those, and you know, when there's a fake review, even if people can't like bought it, they kind of know. Like there's something in their subconscious, they know. But when there's something like really written with enthusiasm that they're like talking about the book, readers know that, and that it's infectious, and they want to buy it too. So yes, I think that round of marketing really helped us, but not with numbers. It helped us with proof. And Amazon knows too, because Amazon knows. Amazon's like Google. You can game them for a little bit, but they're going to slap you and you're going to deserve it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. It's like, write for the readers. Write it. Don't try to game it. Don't try to game it. Someone else is going to take your gold. Don't do that. Work on a better mining system. Don't try to take someone else's gold. You know what I mean? So anyway, I just think that I totally lost my point. I'm so sorry.
No, it was, you know, what did you do for marketing and what worked?
So anyway, I think it all came down to the free. I think that once Amazon did that, I think we had trust built with buyers with our good reviews. And I think we had Amazon's trust because people were buying. Our return rate wasn't non-existent. Mm. And I think a lot of self-published stuff has high returns. So Amazon knows, you know, they know if your return rate is high and people are leaving bad reviews, they're not going to recommend you.
Mm.
But because we were trusted, when people bought like-minded books, they started recommending that. So I think both were really harmonious, but really I think Amazon going to free was just awesome.
Rocked. Yeah, yeah, I'm personally really considering that. So I wanted to ask you as well, what will you do differently for the next lot of marketing?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm looking for actual media now, because now that it's hit, because there's still self-publishing is, it's not like it was, but there's still a little stink on it, you know? And it's not, a lot of people say it's not fair. I think it is fair. I think it has to earn its way, and I think that's okay.
Mm.
But, you know, it just means that we have a job to do. So let's do it and stop complaining about it. And so publishing is as good as traditional publishing. No, it's not. It's different. You know, it's different, and it will be, and it will have its respect. And we're part of the people who are going to make that happen. We're legitimizing it.
Mm.
But nothing's legitimized overnight. Wait your turn. You know, writers, be patient. You know, it will come. Our time will come. It's not there yet, but it's happening. And so we need to keep feeding that. We need to make sure that it keeps happening for us. But so I want to do some actual media, and I've been leaning on a couple of people that I've worked with, and kind of, I'm trying to get a great quote is what I want. So I'm as a ghostwriter, I've worked with people who, I'm just trying to get like a really cool quote.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But yes, so I'm going for something more mainstream. I think that we need actual ad buys. Our next big thing that we're doing is sending out to reviewers physical copies too. And we're going to try to get some reviewers on Amazon that are top reviewers to do it, because I don't think that we can leverage much more through our online network. I think that what we need to do is take it to the next level. And what I was waiting for to kind of connect with some of these other people that can help me get some of the attention that I want, I need to prove it in the marketplace. And once the one hit number one on horror, and I have a screenshot, our book here, Stephen King books here, you know, like that's a powerful screenshot. And so I reached out once I had that screenshot, and I said, you know, we rose, look at our, you know, we got 23 reviews and 20 of them are 5 stars. That's good, you know, and they're enthusiastic 5 stars, and they say specific things. they make, I want to hug them, you know, and I think that that's the kind of, because people are willing to help you, especially if you've helped them before, but you really have to make it easy for them.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You can't put something that's less than stellar out there and expect people to rally around it. Because that's hard, because they're putting their name on it. And so if you give them something that is really awesome, it's going to be really easy to say, of course I'll do that for you. So I just wanted them to know, but you also have to respect people's time. And reading a book, it takes time, and it may be fast for you, but it's people still have to shove it in their schedules, and we're all busy. So if you give them something, you're like, look, these people have already said it's really, really awesome, and I'm telling you it's up your alley. Just give it a chance and then pass it to who you think can help me.
Mm.
That can happen, but I just wanted to wait until we had the proof.
Mm.
So our next push on marketing is going to be a little bigger, a little higher level. I may even consider buying ads. I'm not really sure what we're going to do with purchased media, but there will be some, and definitely getting it into hands of reviewers.
Fantastic. It's actually quite similar to what I'm thinking as well. So, you know, a lot of guest blogging on the first book to build the audience, and then the second one,
yeah,
you know, more focusing on the books.
And actually, you know what? I can answer that question better. In January, we have season 2 coming out. And so we'll have the natural push there, and I believe that will push one.
Mm,
right.
Of course.
And then beyond that, Dave and I have another book coming out in the next couple of weeks that's called Six. And this is kind of taking the things that we learned. This only exists because Yesterday's Gone did what it did. And so this leverages the multiple titles. So what Six is, it's six short stories. And I love this project too. I just want to hug this along. But we each wrote three short stories. And then we're putting them together for the book Six. But each one will be available by itself.
Okay.
So we're in effect creating seven new limbs before Christmas. And it's even better than what we did with Yesterday's Gone because they're not in the same series. They're legitimately, you know, different entities. And with each their own cover, and they're very stylish. Like, they do a fantastic job with the covers. And the stories are awesome. Like, they are so awesome. Like, I love these stories. They're because, again, I wasn't trained as a writer. What I have is a million books and a million movies. I love stories, you know, and that's it. These are stories. I got one that's my, like, it's my Bradbury. I got one that's my Hitchcock. You know, I got one that's my Twilight Zone. And I love these stories. And so we'll have seven new ways for readers to find us. And we have our vampire book, and then we'll have season two. So we're just kind of, and we're working on a young adult one for the quarter one of January too. So our marketing, because I'm a big believer in just building assets and making sure their quality and the marketing takes care of itself.
Mm.
So I wanted to give Yesterday Gone a push, and we'll continue to push that. But our biggest form of marketing is to create more content.
Brilliant.
As long as I can afford to do it. And I feel like I can outrun it. I feel like by the time the books are paying for themselves, I'll no longer need to take client work. Because I made like a war chest, and I'm living off the war chest. And it will bleed dry, but I'm confident that I can make this happen before this is empty. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not.
Well, that's so good. We're going to leave it there. So tell us where people can find your books and you online.
Well, I guess the easiest place to find me is probably ghostwriterdad.com. But for actually books, my Amazon page at Amazon, just Sean Platt, and you know, they'll come up, maybe put a link. But by all means, really, I swear Yesterday's Gone is wonderful. If you like Lost, Stephen King, things that start awesome, end awesome, and are awesome all the way in between, and that if you like that kind of stuff, then you'll love it. If you like stuff that is terrible, then you won't like it at all, and you'll be... leave a bad review. But if you buy it, please leave a review. That would make me so happy.
Oh, well, thanks so much for your time, Sean. That was great.
Thank you very much. It's great being here.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!